Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Inside of Views podcast for January the 24th, 2022. This is a midweek bonus episode. On today's show, we're going to talk about the Lucid Air Dream Edition, setting a new record in our 70-mile-an-hour range test. I'm Dominic Chione, Inside EV's forum moderator and Inside EV's editor. Joining us today is Tom Malogny, Inside EV's editor and host of the YouTube channel State of Charge. We also have Mr. Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast, newly revamped, by the way. Should check that out. Available on all the best podcast platforms. And of course, Kyle Connor joins us from Out of Spec Studios. He also puts together videos for the Inside EV's YouTube channel. Okay, so before we get going, I'd like to ask that you please subscribe to the show. And if you're watching us on YouTube, please hit that thumbs up button and ring that bell icon for notifications. The notifications thing will let you know when we do these like surprise midweek podcasts. So if you're watching on Twitch, you can also ring that bell icon for notifications. All right, so with that out of the way, welcome everybody. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
So, hey guys. So let's talk about this. So Tom, you did a 70-mile-an-hour range test of the Lucid Air Dream Edition range. So, let's get into it. We released the video Sunday morning, and it's gotten a bunch of views, and there's been a lot of discussion. I know you got spent a lot of time on Twitter with it. We have like over 200 comments on our YouTube video page, and then there's over 200 comments on the Inside EV's YouTube tapes, Inside EV's post. So, what's the big issues, or what do you want to talk about?
Well, first off, congratulations to Tom for being able to do this test, because this is insane, everything that's happened. I mean, just for Lucid to, one, say, here's a car, do what you need to do. Sounds like they stayed out of the picture. Maybe you can share a little bit more of this. And pretty amazing that you're able to do a full range test with this thing.
Yeah, it's that really great. You know, we set this up when back in November, I did the first full 0-100 DC fast charge test with the Lucid Air. And kind of like what happened with that time, Lucid was really great. I mean, they said, tell us what you want, tell us what you don't want, and we'll supply what you need, if you need people, if you don't need people. But we just kind of basically want to give you what you want. And I said, no, we want to do what Kyle and I always do, is just give us a car and let us do what we want to do. And that's exactly what they did. I flew out to Arizona. We had originally scheduled this in late November. But I scheduled it for Northern California, where Lucid's headquarters was. We had bad weather. I had to cancel it. And then the holidays came, so we couldn't coordinate a date. Then I got COVID. So we had a date scheduled in early January. We couldn't do it. And I'm only explaining all this because I had some people comment, followers say, hey, you're supposed to do this in November. Has Lucid been, did they pull back and say, now you can't do this? That wasn't the case at all. It was me. I kept canceling on Lucid. So finally, we said, look, I think Arizona is better. If I can do it somewhere near the Casa Grande factory, it'll be better temperatures. It'll be better road conditions. Because I was really stressing on being able to drive for over 7 hours straight on California highways and maintain 70 miles an hour. I don't know if it would have been possible. I could have flown out there and just had to abandon it because it wasn't possible. I was planning on doing it overnight, but then the video doesn't work. So anyway, we scheduled it for Arizona. I asked Lucid, because I don't know the area. I said, could you maybe do some scouting and find me a route that'll work? And they did. They went out. They actually sent people out to drive during rush hour on different highways to see which highways would get clogged up, because I said, I can't get stuck in rush hour traffic. And the range is so long, there's no way to do it without hitting rush hour, either morning or evening. Now, Kyle and I can usually, our range tests are like 2, 3, maybe 4 hours. We can pick a time of the day when there's not going to be traffic. But this thing was going to go so far, it was inevitable. I was going to hit rush hour unless I did it overnight. And again, like I said, then the camera is dark. I don't have good lighting. So they actually picked a really good loop. It was a 110-mile loop around Phoenix. So I made four, and like after I made the fourth loop, then I kind of just drove 20, 30 miles or I think a little further. And then back, I arrived back at the Electrify America charging station that we started at with 496 miles charged. Now, I had already hit zero on the state of charge already hit zero. So I was going to just pull into the charging station. But then I noticed the car was still responsive. And Kyle and I like to call it quits when you hit that accelerator and you're kind of don't get a response. It's like womp, like, you know, you hit it and the car doesn't accelerate. It still goes the same speed. That's when you know you're about to run out. So I get there. It's 496. And I still have power. So there's a road that goes around the mall, like, you know, a big service road. So I just did like four or five loops on that. And when I was at like, you know, 499.5, it started to not be responsive. So this is it. I'm pulling in. And as I pulled into the charging station, it was 500.1 miles. And we ended it there. So I really only drove about 496 at 70 miles an hour. Hey, you know, you could say 496, you could say 500, whatever you want. The damn thing drove 500 miles on a charge, which in itself is freaking nuts.
Now that's not uncommon for, us to pull off a little bit early in our range test. Of course, there's not charging stations everywhere. So what we typically do is make it to the last exit possible, right? Sort of, and we'll do loops on the highway. And then right when it's like, if I go one more exit, there's almost no chance I'll make it back. That's where we pull off. We stake the 70 mile per hour range, and then we drive at 30 to 50 miles an hour on B roads until the car doesn't move. Some cars, this just doesn't work for, like Volkswagen Group products, for example, except the ID4, but like e-tron and Taycan just die. They just go zero and then I'm off. And then there's a restart procedure you can do to get a little bit more. So it's different for every car. Did Lucid tell you what to expect when you got down to 0% to help with this?
So I asked them, I said, guys, I don't want to run out. And here's the crazy thing. They hired a tow truck. There was a tow truck waiting. Because I told them, I said, I don't want to leave range on the table. How far is this going to go? And they told me, they said, look, you probably have 5, 6, maybe 7 miles once you hit zero. So I knew where I was going to be at, you know, and like I said, I hit zero. And while I was on the highway, I drove maybe 3 miles. So 3 miles and then 4 miles at the lower speeds, you know, I pretty much drained it out. But that's the funny thing. Like, they called me up. I didn't even know they did this. When I was like 20 miles to go, I got a call and I'll be like, yeah, we'll just let you know, the tow truck driver's like parked 3 miles from the Electrify America charge station. I was like, really? You hired it? They're like, yeah, you know, we don't want you to be inconvenienced if you run out. We don't want you sitting there waiting an hour for a tow truck driver after you've just driven 500 miles, you know? So that was pretty cool, but we didn't need them. They paid for that.
Can I just say, yeah, by the way, that's a bit like betting the house on red, because that's the worst possible optic, I think, for that. Like, they accepted it might happen, and I must say, you guys are too much of a pro to be like, oh, I didn't realize I've just broken down. Like, you know what you're doing. But still, I think for Lucid to take that gamble and be like, this is the world's first range test on this car, and we are prepared. The person we've asked might end up making a YouTube video with the car stuck on the side of the road. Like, that's the screenshot nobody wants, right, at Lucid.
No, I wanted it, though.
That would be a disaster. Well, I think for Lucid, that would be a disaster. Yeah, because for people who don't understand, like, oh, you know, Tom just ran out. Like, they'd be like, oh, that car breaks down, or he was stranded. Like, that would, I mean, hey, I'd have to say that. That's amazing that they were prepared for that. But I'm pleased for them that it didn't happen.
Yeah, and I mean, it would have been a badge of honor, I think, for me. Like, you know, I drove it till it wouldn't go any further. But you're right, I didn't even think of that. It probably wouldn't have been good optics.
No way.
But that's how focused I was on just getting, you know, the range, you know, that the car could deliver. You know, I mean, Kyle and I hate when, you know, we leave range on the table. I mean, there's sometimes that it's very difficult. Like, where the Electrify America station I start and end at, there isn't a service road, and I don't want to drive in the parking lot at like 10 miles an hour till it stops. So, you know, there's been times where I know I could have gone 3 or 4 more miles, but you know what? It's just where I started and stopped just didn't work out. So this was good that it had the service road that I can loop around. So I finished with a efficiency of 4.3 miles per kilowatt hour. And it was like the whole trip, it was on 4.3. every now and then it would go to 4.2 and 4.1 because there was a 600-foot elevation climb at one part. So it would drop to 4.2. Then I'd get over that and go down the loop, and it would go on 4.3, then 4.4 for a little bit, and then I'd be on 4.2, 4.3. So, you know, we all four of the quarters ended with 4.3 miles per kilowatt hour. So, I mean, we're locked in at that. For me to hit the EPA rated range of 520, I would have had it done 4.41. So we got really close to that at 70 miles an hour on a not flat road in 50 degrees and 60 degree temperatures. We're not talking 75 to 80, which is what really is perfect for electric vehicles. I mean, I think if I had a perfectly flat course and, it was 75 degrees, I think I could hit 520 with the car.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's not like Phoenix is super high. Or were you in Phoenix, or where exactly were you?
I was making loops around Phoenix. Phoenix was in the middle, and I was coming up and around. You know, so as I went up the 303 is where it was, we were gaining elevation, and then I came down 17.
Yeah, but Phoenix proper can't be more than 800 or 1,000 feet above sea level. It's pretty low. So air is still dense. Like if we do our range test up here, we have a little bit of an advantage just because we have less air density.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. To be honest with you, I don't even know what the exact how high we were above sea level. I was just looking at the climb, like how much from the starting point to the highest point. You know, I use the website, flattestroute.com or flattestroute.com. It gives me the whole elevation of my trip, and I saw that it was about 600 miles at the climb at the height of the trip. So yeah,
can I ask you a bit about the car itself that you used? So this was first off, I noticed that it had miles on it in the video. It had like 6,000 miles or something like that.
Yeah, I think 50 something when I got it. Yeah, a little over 5,000.
Why wouldn't they give you a fresh car, full capacity? Obviously Lucid engineers went through this car before you took it, I presume. I don't know. Did you have any conversation with them about like how the car was used for those 6,000 miles? Was it DC charged every time and ripped around a track? Or is this still a fresh battery, or what did you know?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Kyle. And I did ask them at the end, because when we ended up, the car showed that I had consumed 117 kilowatt hour. And Lucid says the usable capacity is 118. There's been controversy over that, but I don't want to get to that. I'm convinced it's 118 at this point, but I really wanted it to hit 118. And I couldn't get it to, I think I would have had to exhaust it till it stopped before it ticked to 118. So I asked them, I said, you know, I really wanted to see 118. And this is exactly what Kyle's asking. The engineer replied to me. He said, look, he goes, it's got over 5,000 miles on it. He goes, we've been loaning it out. He goes, it's a production air, and a lot of media have driven this car, and we constantly DC fast charge it. And he said, it's had a little degradation because of that. The car only has like 117.75 kilowatt hour in it. Like, that's it. So I was never going to hit 118. And he said it's because of the DC fast charge degradation. And, you know, to your point of, well, why would they give you a completely fresh one with 100? I don't think they have them to give out. I think all the production cars that they make now, they're giving to customers because, you know, they're under tremendous pressure to get these cars in customers' hands. So, that's what I would guess, that, look, they've only got two or three of these production vehicles and they're going around. They probably gave me the best one. The one with the best battery, and it had this is the Dream Edition range with the 19 inch wheels. The 21 inch wheels cut like 30 miles off the range. So this was the one that would get the best range, and you know, it delivered.
So, and what about, Dominic, go ahead. I apologize.
I was just going to say that a lot of people were asking about efficiency and how they achieved that. Of course, it's very super aerodynamic, but a lot of people were pointing at the tires. Were they like especially narrow or anything?
They're 245/45 Pirelli P0s.
Okay.
That's not
narrow. That's still a pretty narrow tire for a car that heavy.
Oh, for a car that heavy, but it's not like i3 tires. It's 245/45s are decent rubber. It's decent rubber. It's not, you wouldn't want it on, you know, drag strip. The performance version has bigger tires. But you know, that's definitely, I mean, it's not Taycan tires. Taycan tires are like this wide.
305s or 315s on the back of a Taycan.
Yeah. So, or Model S Plaid has used tires too. You know, I mean, that alone, if you swap the Plaid's tires and put them on the Lucid Air, I probably would have got like 40 miles less, maybe 50, you know? So people, that was some of the comments were like people saying, don't tell me this car goes 200 more miles than a Model S Plaid. You know, they can't possibly be that much more efficient. And I said, just take the tires alone and swap them. And and you'd make a huge difference in that alone. This is set up for range. It's the Dream Edition range, and it's set up to get the most range.
Right.
Yeah. Tom, do you know if Lucid, and this is really my last full question, is certain automakers display consumption differently. Some say, here's how much your drivetrain used to move the vehicle. And then some say, here's how much the total system pulled out of the battery port throughout your drive. Do you know which Lucid uses? Because I believe, and I am actually about to test this later this week, I believe Tesla only shows motor power used, not HVAC included.
You are correct. They don't. Tesla's only shows motor power. So it makes the car look a little bit more efficient than it actually totally is. And Lucid doesn't. Lucid, that 4.3 is the total energy consumed by the vehicle during this drive. And that's how you do the numbers. 4.3 times 117 is right on the nose is 500. It might be like 502 or something like that. So, you know, I mean, you can't hide that energy, you know, if HVAC's using it or the radio. I mean, I had the HVAC on. I had it on. We always set this. I had it on 68 degrees, fan level 3. I usually put it on 1 or 2. But I had to put it on 3 because I was starting to get hot. It's got this giant glass roof. And even in the 60s in Arizona, the sun is like, you know, bright. And I was starting to get too hot. So I had to put it on fan 3. And so that's to answer your question, Kyle. Tesla doesn't show the energy. I know this for a fact that the rest of the vehicle uses. But Lucid and most other manufacturers do. They show the total energy consumed by the car during that driving session.
That's an important point, by the way, because some of the follow-up to your video I saw, which the Lucid having a 117, 118 kilowatt-hour pack, is that when you did the Model S Plaid range test on the 21-inch wheels, I think you pulled 91 kilowatt-hours from that battery pack to go from 100% to zero. Pulled 91 kilowatt-hours to move the car that distance, not to power the car for that entire journey. And so people are saying this is definitive proof that the only way Lucid have been able to get extra range is to add a pack that is, 27 kilowatt hours bigger. And then they're working percentages and being like, well, it's 23, 24% bigger than Tesla. Right. They've just stuffed extra. It's an important thing to realize that actually there are differences in how these numbers are presented, and it's complex.
It is. It absolutely is. And you know, the you know, armchair engineers, you know,
there's plenty of YouTube, those,
you know, come up with these, conspiracies that, you know, this is, you know, proof that you're doing this or you're doing that. And, you know, the funny thing is Kyle and I know we said this before, but I have to say it again. We don't care how far the car goes. I don't care if it's 4.3, 4.1, 3.9. It means nothing to me. I don't get paid if a car performs well or performs poorly. And yes, if I criticize a car, I'll still get a loan from that company. Tesla aside, Tesla won't give us anything. They give nobody anything. That's why we can't. Everyone's saying, well, how come you haven't done the Model S, you know, with the aero wheels? I can't get one. If anybody out there has one and wants to loan it to Kyle or me in Colorado or New Jersey, please give me one. I'm searching Toro constantly because I want to rent one. A Model S just came up in New Jersey, but it has the arachnid wheels. I know if I use that, people are going to bitch about, you know, you didn't use the most efficient Model S and, you know, you're cheating. So I need a 2021 Model S, 2022 Model S with the aero wheels, and we'll do the range test on the damn thing. But I can't get a hold of one.
And Tempest wheels, either. Yeah.
So I want to be able to compare it. And I was supposed to do the EQS range test next week. I had this lined up with Mercedes for 3 weeks. I just got an email from FMI, is the company that hands the cars out to press. You don't deal directly with the manufacturers. You almost always go through like a company that sets up media loans. And they said Mercedes pulled the EQS from their inventory without giving them any warning. They only had it for 3 weeks, and they came and took the car away. So I don't know if there's a problem with the car or if they needed to allocate it to a different market. I don't know why they'd pull it from the New York market. But I'm so depressed because I was going to have the EQS range test next week for you guys. Now I won't. And I don't know when I'm going to get it from Mercedes now.
Hey, so we've done a whole ton of these 70 mile an hour range tests at this point. Has anything come, what's the closest thing that's come as close in the efficiency?
So the only car that actually beat Lucid's efficiency was a 2020 Hyundai Ioniq, not the Ioniq 5, the Ioniq. It actually averaged 5 miles per kilowatt hour. That's a small car, super aerodynamic, super light, tiny battery. So, you know, it didn't go very far in the range test, like 160 miles or something like that. But it averaged 5 miles per kilowatt hour. It's incredibly efficient car. I mean, after that, it was the Tesla. It was 4.25 miles per kilowatt hour with the Model 3 that we tested, two of them, a 19 and a 20. But again, you have to take into consideration that the cars we're comparing them to included all of the energy loss in the efficiency number when we did the range test. But the Teslas only included powertrain efficiency when it calculates the numbers. So it's a little convoluted. It should be a little bit lower than 4.25. It might be 4.1. I don't know.
Okay, well, Tesla changes this periodically. And I believe at one point Tesla did used to display full energy used because I actually used it for capacity testing and it was pretty accurate back then. Now it's going to be a little bit more difficult to do that. That's why I have to do this test on my car because I'm doing this 100,000 mile degradation report since new. And if they change the calculations, well, now I can't reference my original numbers when I, you know, on day one when I bought the car. Yeah. And then Tesla also... Not that we need to make this whole episode about Tesla, but for their supercharging, they used to bill you for energy going into the battery pack. Mm-hmm. Now they bill you for energy that rolls through the port. So you're heating all that stuff, which makes sense. You're taking energy from the supercharger. You should pay for that. So they've been adapting this over time. And so I think it requires, you know, someone to go out there and figure out a test for this, which I'll do this week and make sure it's, you know, we're all talking on the same page.
Yeah, cool.
All right. So do we know if there's this kind of range is going to come to us at any time in a more like affordable trim level from Lucid?
Well, the Grand Touring is next, right? And that has a smaller battery pack, 112 kilowatt hour battery pack for the Grand Touring. So we're already going to see the range going down for other Lucid tests. Because ultimately, this Dream Edition is the first, was it 520 cars to match the range, right? So yeah, we are going to see a different result the next time somebody tests one of the cheaper cars. And I say that because they're still quite expensive, but still there's no reason why we'd see a difference in results and actually maybe a little bit better because it'll be slightly less weight, I guess. Tom, mind you, the weight doesn't make a huge difference at that level, I suppose.
Yeah, at a constant speed, the weight doesn't have that much as an effect as if you're starting and stopping. Same thing with regenerative braking. The regen setting, really isn't that important on the range test that we do because we're almost never regenerating. Every now and then when we do the turnarounds, we regen a little, but it makes very little. I actually left the car on the weakest regen setting when I did this drive. So it coasted more if I were to back off. And there's one other thing that I want to point out that we had some criticism, but another conspiracy popped up. People saw in the video that I had the ACC set, the adaptive cruise control, running. And they're like, this goes to prove that this wasn't a production car because production cars don't have it. Lucid said they don't have cruise control. That's wrong. The cars that are going out of the factory now have cruise control, but they don't have the full suite of safety devices. They don't have lane centering. So I didn't have lane centering. The car would just steer itself out of the lane if I let go of the steering wheel, even with the ADAS set. That's not fully baked yet. So Lucid's going to send that out in an over-the-air update. But the cars do have adaptive cruise control, which I used.
So, Tom, the cars that are rolling out of the factory today, or at least when you performed this test a few days ago, have adaptive cruise control and lane departure assistance.
So, they don't have lane departure. Here's the thing about the lane departure assistance. What they told me was the cars have just adaptive cruise control. They said the lane departure assistance, we are this close to releasing it to the public. And they said, if you would like, we can turn it on your car because it's pretty much fully baked now. But you know, for your long drive, it might help you a little. And the lane departure warning, you know, it gives you a beep, and it you know, the steering wheel shakes a little bit when you're getting down a lane. And I said I would appreciate if you could turn that on for me, because this is a 500 mile drive. I'm going to be driving for 8 hours, and you know, that would help me. So you know, as I was there, they activated it.
This was a switch. This isn't a full rewrite to like say they're going to let you use all the battery this, that, the other.
No, the
drivetrain, the HVAC, all factory production.
This is a production Lucid Air. And I made that specifically clear, because if you remember when I did the DC fast charge test, it was a pre-production vehicle. Now it had all production software, all production hardware. You know, there's no difference in a production car, but the people that want to pick this stuff apart, oh, well, it's not a production car. So I said, for this range test, I said, guys, this has to be a production vehicle, just like the cars that are rolling off the thing. And it was, except like I said, when I got there, they said, if you want us to, we're about to release this in an over-the-air update to the customers. And I said, you know what? 8 hours of driving. Lane departure would probably help me, because I admit I'm sometimes distracted when I do these range tests, because I have cameras. I'm thinking about what I'm going to say next. I'm adjusting things, and having the lane centering is a huge help. Like autopilot, I use that all the time when I do the range test, just for a split second. If I'm going to adjust something, it really helps. And, not having that on this car was added stress. But having them activate the lane departure really helped it on me. And that's something customers are going to get really soon.
So, Martin, I know you have to go soon, but I wanted to let our audience know, and you, since this is where we chat too. I listened to your short EV News Briefly podcast in video form. Really enjoyed waking up to your face this morning. Thank you very much.
I'm so sorry to hear that. Somebody
it
has
will
to.
Ruin everyone's day.
Yeah,
but it's
I mean, really, really, when you wake up in the morning. So yeah, the new US breakfast show with the little mini podcast to set up the day's news. And of course, the lead item was this story, because it's a huge story. And so it is being reported far and wide. 4.3 miles per kilowatt hour on a car this heavy, I think, is just an incredible achievement. And they're not doing anything in terms of, you know, they're using similar technology to everyone else. They're using the 2170 cells. Now, I know their two suppliers are Samsung or SDI and LG. Now, they're different packs according to whether it's the Dream Edition and then it's further down. I'm not sure. It changes somewhere along the line, whether the Grand Touring is the same pack as this one, but one less module. Either way, you know, they're using technology that is largely off the shelf in terms of the cells, but it's everything else that they've done that I find hugely impressive in terms of the efficiency of this. And there is a theme running through the comments on the website and on YouTube where people go, oh, well, that's all very well and nice for them, but it's $170,000. But people have to understand, what do you expect? The world's best, like, this is the world's farthest EV. Electric vehicles have never been this good. Well, you want it on a 15 grand city car. I mean, oh, hey, by the look, the new Nissan Micra is out, and it's, it doesn't make any sense. So of course it starts here, but then it goes, it will filter down. It's so exciting that, you know, whether it takes 2 years or 5 years or whatever, this technology will filter down. And I think, finally, I think it also will encourage healthy competition. Let's just say that.
I agree 100%. And to Martin's point, I don't want to beleaguer that, but one of the comments was, you know, Tesla's trying to bring e-mobility to the world, affordable electric mobility to the world. Lucid is just catering to, rich folks. Don't forget, when Tesla's first car came out, it was $110,000 in 2008. Adjust that to today's value, it's over $140,000. So the simple game plan for most of these startups is bring something out that's high-end, very expensive, high profit, and that's how you fund the company to then go down market and provide affordable cars. Tesla didn't sell an affordable car till they were in business like 10 years, till the Model 3 came out. So, you know, to criticize Lucid saying, oh, they're just trying to cater to rich people, hey, Tesla did that also in the beginning, and Lucid certainly has plans to go down market eventually, but you just can't bring out a $35,000 electric car as your first car. The company would never make it. That's just the economics of this business.
There's enough rich people to buy them, so make them.
It's a good shout. They've sold all of the ones they've sold 520 cars.
Yeah, I thought I read on Twitter you have two on order, Martin.
That's right. Yeah, I've got two of them coming over. It's interesting. So European deliveries do start this year. So Lucid said European deliveries start this year. That won't be right-hand drive because, of course, everyone knows we drive on the correct side of the road here. And as someone who's been a bit punchy in the comments today, winding a few people up, I've noticed this user saying that Martin's got to go away now and drink tea with milk, which is the only way to drink tea, obviously. Absolutely. Lucid will come here. Not here. They won't make right-hand drive version, sadly. But if we coming to Europe by the end of the year, I have one friend who has ordered. I have one friend. I could just stop there, couldn't I? See you guys.
Is it Richard?
It's a friend of mine who currently drives a Taycan, and he has placed his order for a Lucid, and when they make a right-hand drive version, it will come to the UK. But and they are actually reaching out to him and being communicative. I can't think the last thing he told me, but whenever we catch up on WhatsApp, he says, yeah, you know, they've either called him or there's a human being at the end of the phone saying, here's the update, here's what's going on. No date yet, but we're working on it. So that's like, you know, admittedly, it's an expensive car, and I guess that kind of purchaser would like a certain kind of treatment. Although saying that, he was given no special treatment with his Taycan. I must, I'll pop that in.
So just a point about Lucid being this car being so expensive. It is true, and they will be cheaper ones eventually. But Lucid is a premium car manufacturer. I don't believe they're planning on going too far down market. You know, below, I don't know, 50,000. I don't see that happening. And you know, Tesla is doing that now, and they have a cheaper car on the way, like 25,000 or lower, one for China, I think one for here. We'll see what happens with that. You know, Tesla has huge ambitions, obviously, and lots of scale, and they'll be, you know, they'll have lots of great products over a huge price range. They're, you know, they're complementary to each other. They're both doing, you know, great things, I think.
I just think in general, cars are getting more expensive. And part of that is because inflation, especially in the car world, is happening at a faster rate than the rest of our economy. I mean, look at the used car prices. They've increased 30, 40% over the last year. Insane. If you have a car that you don't need, sell it now. I'm actually considering selling some cars. And just because, right now is the time to do it.
This could be a temporary thing, though, right?
I don't know.
I mean, relatively.
I think another year. It's not going to go back. We'll never see numbers like we did 2 years ago. I think it's just going. It'll settle, but I think it's still going to be strong. Tom, when you were driving the Lucid for 500 miles, you've now spent probably more time than anyone in one go in an air, other than maybe test engineers. What was it like in the car? How was the sound system? How was the noise? How was the seat comfort? What was it like to spend that much time? Because you and I both have spent a lot of time in road trips. I've spent tons of time in Tesla road trips, tons of time in Taycan and other premium cars. And I get so frustrated typically, except for, you know, the Tesla Model 3 seats, I think, are some of the best. What was Lucid like?
Well, I have a bad back, and I've had two back surgeries, so I can be very sensitive to seats. And I got out of this after 8 hours in the car, and my back was fine. I found it very comfortable, very quiet, a real peaceful, serene driving experience. But you know, that amount of time in a car is tough. And especially when you have to drive at a constant speed in a loop that you're going nowhere. And it's so funny, I found it so hard to complain about driving a $170,000 car all day. You know, a lot of people would really love to have the opportunity, and it was great, but this was a super long, laboring drive. You can almost see at the end of the vehicle, my face just looks like worn and tired, you know, but the driving experience was great. I would have loved to punched it at different times on the highway, but you know, you just can't, you know, you got to lock it in at 70 and just drive. So you know, this is nothing like a review. Like if I had the car to review all day and I could really get on it and drive it, like this is just, you know, just let the car take you. But it was smooth, super comfortable, you know, great sound system. You know, I mean, I'd love to spend time in this vehicle, maybe not 8 hours, but spend more time in the vehicle. It was really a great, pleasant drive, Kyle.
How much did you use the massaging seats?
I didn't use them at all. Oh, really? I don't want to put any other
energy
draw.
Not part of our procedure.
And it was on there, and I'm looking at the button, and I'm like, I could just press that. But honestly, guys, I had the radio on low. I was listening to Martin's podcast.
Sorry
to
hours of them.
That's why he stopped at 500 miles.
That's he can't do it anymore.
And the heat on and the air conditioning on, you know, 68 degrees and the radio, and that's it. No other energy drinks. We really, it's not fair if you do that. Even something like, you know, if I had the massaging seats on for hours, it might have taken a half a mile off the trip. I mean, Kyle and I take this seriously. You know, I mean, we don't do everything perfect on every trip, but we try to. We try to be fair to the car. And that's what I did.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. This is not scientific testing, but it is also not really real world. It's somewhere in between that we've been able to create the most scientific test possible in real world environments, but also sort of cherry picking the right time of day, the right route to try and make everything as fair as possible.
Yeah. Well, as long as it's the same every time, then, which you guys have been doing for years now, so go and check out our table on Inside EVs. They've got, I can probably bring it up on screen in a moment, and that's the point. It's a consistent set of parameters as we can get from independent journalists who got no skin in the game. There's no one here owning shares of, you know, one company and hoping to promote them. And so one of the comments I saw, like, you know, you call this a real world range test. It's not my real world with this person. Like, why don't you drive it around some highways, then do some city stuff? And well, look, if you did that, you'd get probably a real world figure for the Lucid Air Grand Touring. But then the next person that did it would get an entirely different number. So, yeah, I mean, Tom could have gone and done this and driven around, you know, some urban areas and done some stop start, but it wouldn't mean anything. Like, you get a number. And it would be a mixed driving cycle test. It wouldn't mean anything because...
And Mark, like we could never replicate that test with another car.
Never replicate
it. That's the thing. We try to do the same thing with every car. I think it would be interesting to do a range test like that where we drive it in the city and sorry to cut you off, Mark, and drive it in the city, drive it on the highway, do a bunch of different things. But the problem is the next time, even if we took that same course, it would be a totally different driving experience because there would be more traffic, less traffic. So, you know, that's why we do this, because we can repeat it. There's a million ways you could do a range test, but, you know, for what Kyle and I do, I think this is the best way to do a consistent range test. Now, you could say, well, you guys should have done all these at 75 miles an hour. Okay, you could say that. But you know, we had to do them all at the same, and sometimes it's hard to maintain 70. It would be a lot harder if we had to maintain 75 for hours on end. So I think putting it at 70 is good. And now that we've locked it in at 70, we can't change it because we'd have to retest all the cars.
And we chose 72 because, you know, that's how we're going to use with people with cars with this much range. That's how you're going to use them, like, for long trips, where that's the only time you're going to have to worry about, you know, how far can I possibly go on a, you know.
Well, it originally started with the Mini Cooper SE was how we came up with this test. Tom and I were in North Carolina, and we said, okay, let's do a 90 kilometer per hour, 55-ish test. And then we were like, well, that seems pretty dumb. We can't do that on the highway safely. Speed limit's like 75. Let's do 70. And so it's also close to, you know, sort of the inspiration of these range tests was Bjorn Nyland's videos doing his sort of, you know, full range test at 90 kilometers per hour, and then like a 120, I believe he does, on the motorway section in Norway. We just said, okay, 70 is close to 120. I think it's 112, but we're like, we'll just do 70.
And that's usually the speed limit here in the U.S. too, 7 miles an hour on the interstates.
Yeah, and I'm lucky for these tests too because I'm the next town from Wyoming. So I can go up there and see no one for like 20 hours and I never have an issue maintaining 70. It's also one of the reasons we chose this location was because our roads are so quiet. Tom sometimes has to go and you know, sit on the turnpike. And if he gets stuck in traffic, the test is done. I can't tell you how many times we've been 70% of the way through a test, hit traffic. Now the test, you know, it's nil.
Yeah, you got to go home and do it the next day. Right. But luckily, I pick good times, and the turnpike flows really well in New Jersey. So rarely does that happen. One time, I had to jump off the turnpike, and I was right by 78, so I could hop on 78 and continue at 70 miles an hour. So it was slightly different course, but I was able to finish because I was like at like 80% of the range test. I'm like, oh no, you know, don't tell me this. But I was able to get on 78 and continue right up to the same charging station. Listen, I'll talk about this all day, but I know Martin has, up against, he's got to go. We did 40 minutes. I hope we kind of explained this a little bit, guys. And this was a great range test. I want to thank Lucid for giving Inside of Ease the opportunity to be the first independent news outlet to take one of these babies and drive it till it wouldn't go any further. 500 miles. Congratulations, Lucid.
All right.
Now so it's that, time for cross country.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So that brings us to the end of today's bonus episode. If you have any questions or comments, you can leave them on the Inside EVs forum podcast thread or on our YouTube or Twitch comment sections. If you like the show, please give us a thumbs up. If you're watching us on YouTube, don't forget you can find and follow our panelists on Twitter. You can follow Tom Logney at Tomalog, that's with two M's. Martin Lee is at EV News Daily. And Kyle Connor is at It's Kyle Connor. And I'm at Dominic_Y. Click subscribe and tap that bell icon for notifications. And we'll see you all again Friday morning. Ciao.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than two decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com. Upwork.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.